Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another little song and dance or little circus act that we like to call Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm the MC, I guess.
You're the conductor of this wonderful orchestra.
You're the ringmaster. I am Mike.
I'm the jester.
I'm Mike Salmon. That guy is Stephen Julian, I should say. It's going to be a long show because I am just out of sorts today.
I don't know what's happened there, Mike, but you are going to pull it together and you're going to do fabulous because you are a professional.
It's pretty bad. We've been doing this one for 2.5 years and I still can't get your name right.
Well, and you fired me 15 times, so, you know,
but
it's
I keep bringing you back. All right. We've got a wonderful show. I'm predicting a wonderful show. I have a feeling we'll have some fun today.
I am confident of a wonderful show.
Joining us from Integrated Insurance Solutions, you're thinking, oh, another insurance guy.
That is not what I'm thinking.
No, this is a good guy, Steve Collins. It's commercial insurance, and he's going to make it sound interesting.
I'm thinking he is a very knowledgeable commercial insurance producer, and he's going to help us.
And we have an award winner in the house as well. Josh Axelbird with Display It is with us, and he's won awards. I don't know the names of the awards sometimes, but he's won some.
Yes.
And we'll find out what those are. You want to just start the interview or should I?
You jump right in, Mike.
All right. Steve Collins, Integrated Insurance Solutions. Steve, for better or worse, we'll start with you. Welcome to the program. Give us the view from overhead, the Integrated Insurance Solutions. What does your company do?
Basically, Integrated Insurance Solutions, we do personal and commercial. I'm in the commercial division. And basically, we're an independent agency, and what that means, we have deep pockets with options. We focus on our service. Anybody can put a product online or put it together, but it's the servicing that we focus on, in fact. So we have great employees back at the office when we're out and about trying to put different types of policies together that services it while we can't be there.
There's a lot of other companies that offer the products and services that you have. Why should somebody call your company?
Because we give personal attention. We are always responsive on our calls. We're always responsive if we need to be at the place of business. We do our best to ask all the questions necessary. When you put together experience within our office, we're over 50 plus years of total experience that we have. So if there is something that I don't know or another associate in the office don't know, we come together as a team to try to put that particular product together for them. But again, our focus point is on the service. You get a lot of agents out there, they put it on the shelf and they're waiting 12 years for the renewal. We always have people standing by for the calls and making sure that things are done promptly.
Steve, when it comes to the commercial line of insurance, What are the two or three biggest mistakes that business owners are making when it comes to their commercial insurance that maybe they're making these mistakes because the people they're working with aren't asking those extra questions like you guys do?
Sure. It's all depending on the industry itself. For instance, you may have a printing company. They have errors and omissions for printing company. The biggest mistake or misunderstanding at times can be that the printing owner did not realize that the regular general liability policy would cover errors on skills. And that's not the truth. And that's why you would have your errors and omissions in place. The biggest thing that's going out there right now is, as you well know, is cyber liability. And basically, you put the cyber coverage within your GL policy because you've heard of the big boys like Home Depot, where there was a breach out there, well, they're responsible for that. So especially my recommendation for companies that are dealing with a lot of sensitive information, you definitely want to double check to make sure you have this type of coverage within your GL policy.
Is it actually called cyber insurance?
Well, there's different names to it. I mean, we can be here all day, but I just call it cyber coverage that you have in there and cyber liability.
I got you. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's really cool about your company, too, is you take more of a consulting approach towards your clients.
Correct.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Basically, what I like to do is I like to sit down. I like to understand the business. Sure, you can take an order online, but things can possibly be missed. So I'll give you a prime example. Lynn, who owns Wish for Me Foundation, her last agent was just putting individual policies out there on the homes, but her focal point was to put it under one rooftop. And to get an understanding of the nature of the homes and what she was trying to do, went out there and toured the facility and everything, and then got a better understanding. Matter of fact, if we would have done it over the phone, I'll be honest with you, I would have missed it. So at times, you know, you can't be everywhere at once, but I try my best to get out there to sit down to really get a full understanding of what the client really needs and not to be an order taker.
That's such a great point, because there are times where we want to get into technology and speed things up. But in your case, when it comes to insurance, sometimes you got to slow down and really dig in, and then that saves the client money or helps the client when the worst thing happens. You talked a little bit about a particular industry and how it helps certain business owners. Are there certain industries that integrate an insurance solution as an independent insurance agent can really be great for? Are there niches that you really know this is our sweet spot? And on the other side of that coin, are there any industries that you would go, I know some people who would do better than we would?
Well, it's true. It's a little funny that a lot of my great friends are other commercial insurance agents, and I have one gentleman that specializes in a particular property coverage but doesn't do bonds. Well, we do bonds, surety bonds, fidelity bonds, you name it. And so we try to help each other that way, going back and forth with a trust understanding. We're not in there to steal their clientele base. As for our niche, my philosophy is never say never. So, you know,
that always gets me in trouble.
I know. But, you know, I a few tough ones like a gunpowder manufacturer and, you know, a salvage yard. Sometimes you have to reach out to your wholesale markets to see if there's something out there for them. But if I'd have to say what a great consistent niche would be, it'd be the IT market right now.
Well, you think of insurance companies, and sometimes you think it's pretty straight and narrow, but I understand you like to kind of think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, I've been that way ever since
Have that flexibility when it comes to insurance? Because it seems like it would be just, you know, straight and forward, but you can actually be a little bit more creative when it comes to coverage?
Sure. And that's where you get into captive agents and non-captive agents. And we're a non-captive agent with an independent agency, not just ours, but any independent agency. They're going to provide options because they're going to have different companies, where a captive agency, which they're good, but you find more of them on the more of the personal lines. They only have the one box. We try to create and have many boxes to choose from. A great example, I had a trucking company call me yesterday, and, you know, they're over 25 plus trucks, and they're with a particular carrier, but one of their clientele says, you have to carry a $3 million liability policy on top of this. Well, the current commercial trucking they're with does not do what's called an umbrella, an excess. So she called me, and we have companies that will do an excess while they're with another carrier at this point. And this sort of gets me my foot in the door for next year's renewal.
So because you're non-captive, I asked you kind of niche question, but the reality is if you aren't able to provide the coverage, you're going to know somebody that can help them, and vice versa. You guys all seem to help each other out. And because you work with so many different wholesalers, there are not many situations that you won't be able to help somebody. Is that
a fair
statement?
The philosophy I live by, do what's best for the client.
Right.
Hopefully that falls within my portfolio, but at times it may not. But I think they'll remember that in the long run.
Let me ask this question. What businesses and typical, what sectors and industries do you find usually need more coverage? What business owners out there, not to stereotype and generalize everybody, but
the gunpowder guy,
right? are there industries that almost every time you go in, you go, boy, I kind of know what I'm going to walk into, and they're going to be underinsured. What business owners listening now need to call you?
Well, boy, that's a loaded question.
It is. It is.
He just teed you up there, Steve.
Yeah, you did. You did. You told me these are easy questions.
You're either gonna knock it out of the park, or you're gonna step on a landmine. One of the two.
Well, we're gonna tiptoe around it, because the reason I say that's a loaded question is that in today's world, no matter what industry that you're in, there is just liability shooting left and right and up in the middle from you. So we have to take each client on a case-by-case basis to properly insure them. Sure, you can over-insure somebody. We try to avoid that. But what we try to do is we try to plug all the holes in that boat that's leaking water to make sure they're covered properly.
So the correct answer to that question, on top of what you just said, is business owners need to find people who are going to make them a priority.
Correct.
And take time to talk to them and take time to prioritize what's the most important needs they need to insure.
That is correct.
Boy, if only we knew someone who would do that for them and they are sitting at this table.
I like how you ask the question and then you're answering your own question as well.
Yes. Well, I felt bad about sticking him in the middle of a minefield, and he handled that very well.
Let me see if I could do this a little bit better. We're talking with Steve Collins, Integrated Insurance Solutions, here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Let me see if I could tee you up a little bit better than Steven did over there.
Ouch.
A lot of times... I like doing that to you, Steve.
Yeah.
A lot of times you do your policy and you never see the insurance agent again.
Correct.
Something tells me, though, that for you, and I kind of know this, I'm teeing you up, that the service after the sale, that's just as important as placing the insurance coverage in the first place.
That's correct. That's a philosophy I live by. 90% service, 10% product placement. You hit it right on the head, right in there. And that's how we stay in touch. There are clients that have very few questions, and we may talk to them maybe once a year. But the majority of our clientele, it's ongoing calling. There may be audits associated with the workers' comp. There may be a claim that they need help on, especially who do we file this under? Do we file it under professional liability, or is this general liability? A simple thing, hey, I need a certificate of insurance coverage to show this particular entity that we are covered. So it's just an ongoing service base. So yes, I mean, if you're not communicating to your current agent or their current office, you may want to take a review again at your next renewal.
I know a lot of folks, if their insurance agent walked through the door, they wouldn't even recognize them because they never see them.
My hand's raised on that.
All right. Well, and of course, like personal insurance, things change over time. And so you want to always kind of review and take a look at it.
Correct.
Are there particular types of commercial insurance that you guys really specialize in?
Yeah, well, we, again, being independent, we specialize in them all. Again, we do all types of bonds. We do all types of general liability on top of the professional liability. And under that umbrella, you have errors and omissions, like your CPAs or your attorneys. And then you have malpractice to deal with your dentists, your doctors. And director's insurance, if you have a company that's structured a little bit bigger with a board of directors and so.
The business owners listening to this interview, how often should they, we talked about how often they should probably hope to meet with their insurance agent at least once a year, but what's a good rule of thumb for getting your coverages requoted? As an independent, you can go to multiple wholesalers, and sometimes you go to your clients and go, hey, I reran a quote and we can save you money over here. And how often should a business owner be looking at their different coverages and maybe getting them repriced?
Well, certainly they need to take a look at this at least once a year. For companies that are growing, they may want to relook at things on a quarterly basis, maybe every 6 months, especially with the workers' comp when you have seasonal payroll going back and forth. We have a particular trucking company where they're at low season right now, and their payroll is probably half of what it was originally. And so we had to put an amendment in there and get that changed. So, I mean, you know, it's all, again, depending on the industry you're in, the maturity of your company and so forth, when you need to review it, but at least once a year.
And you guys do personal lines. And I know on the personal line, a lot of times a good insurance agent will say, whenever there's a life event, that's a really the time to talk to me. There are life events in the life of a company. And,
sure.
And those are important to look to talk to someone who's going to consult like you just did.
Thank you. Correct.
All right, Steve Collins with Integrated Insurance Solutions. For those that would like to reach out to you, find out more about your company and check into your products and services, what's all the contact information where they can reach you?
Sure. They can reach me at the main office at 770-667-3636, and I'm extension 103. Or if you want to shoot me an email, it's scollins@iis-ga.com.
Great. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Steve Collins, Integrated Insurance Solutions, here from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio.
Mike, before you get to Josh Axelbert at Display It, you did say the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio, and love is what makes a Subaru. You can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. You can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. You can come in and see the difference. Mike, maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
All right, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from Display It, Josh Axelbert. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about Display It, because if you think about the name, it could be a lot of things. So what is Display It?
Well, Display It started in 1996, and in 1997, we were really the first company to offer portable trade show displays for sale via the internet. So today, we're one of the leading providers of portable displays for marketing events of all kinds, but especially trade shows.
Okay, and you are the CEO of the company. How did you get into this business?
Well, my father started the company in 1996. And at that time, all trade show displays were sold through 100% commission salespeople in regional sales offices. And pretty much only your major cities had substantial trade show display companies. My father was friends and partners in another business with a gentleman in the industry. And he had found that it was very difficult to have salesmen devote attention to selling the lower cost, but often more profitable trade show displays. Because for a commission salesperson, they're going to put as much work into making a $40,000 sale as they would a $3,000 sale. So my dad came with the idea of, hey, why don't we start a catalog that we'll mail out to targeted customer list. And the catalog worked okay, but my brother-in-law came along at the time and said, hey, Fred, why don't we make this a website? And he put together a website, basically just scanned the catalog. And one day, my dad's sitting in his office, and he gets an order come across the fax machine. There was no e-commerce at that time. About a $3,000-$4,000 order come across the fax machine and said, we might have something. So at that time, I was working in the industry, in the trade show industry, with my dad's partner. And then after the business got going, I joined him in 1999.
All right, so I've got a little side question. You guys were the first to do these trade show displays and sell them completely online, not through commission sales. 20 years later now, what percentage of these types of displays are now sold online?
Yeah, surprisingly, it's still a small percentage when you look at it from a dollar standpoint. The lower cost exhibits are more prominent online, but I'd still say even on the lower cost exhibits, they're still primarily sold through 100% commission.
So you're still enjoying the pond and being the biggest fish and doing it the best. I'm assuming in 20 years, it's no longer a scanned catalog on the website. So I'm sure it's upgraded well since then. What are some other changes that have happened in the last 20 years of selling these display banners online?
Yeah. So one of the other key factors of our industry was you had these 100% commission sales forces, but these exhibit companies also were strictly distributors. So they represented products from national manufacturers. And what our large volume of sales via the internet allowed us in 2012, we began to do our own production. So from 96 to 2012, we were distributors ourselves of other national manufacturers. And our volume had grown to the point, and we said, hey, we can produce these exhibits ourselves. We've brought that in-house. So that has really disrupted the industry, where we are producing these products ourselves, and we're going direct to consumer at a even more aggressive price than we ever have before.
We're talking with Josh Axelbird with Display It, and I see here in the notes that you still generate 90% of your leads through digital marketing channels, such as Google AdWords. Talk about how you are using the internet and electronics and so forth, digital marketing, and how that's worked for you and how it's evolved over the years.
Yeah, so in 97, when we launched the site, you can have a website up, and ours wasn't terribly pretty at the time, but it was better than what was out there.
Everybody was still learning back then.
We were learning. It's pretty scary to go back and look at it, you know.
I would imagine you've printed off some pages and kept them in your scrapbook. Look at what we used to do.
Yeah, well, there's actually a site called webarchive.org, and go and look at websites and see what they look like in the past. But anyway, you know, if you have a website, that's just the first step. If you don't drive traffic to it, nobody's going to see it. So in the early days when we started out, we were involved in search engine optimization, where you try to set up your website so that you're going to rank for the searches. That's a free service in quotation marks, but it takes a lot of work. And, you know, you can be on the top of the page at one point and gone the next. So very early on, we got involved with Google AdWords in 2002. Had a tremendous passion. It was really fun for me to be involved in that. And what Google AdWords is simply is you get the chance to bid on a keyword that you want to rank high for in Google. And when we started that, Google was not the most dominant player. You had to manage a few different sites. And through the years, Google's dominance has increased. And, you know, looking back on it, in 2002, I was okay managing that Google AdWords platform. And just kind of went all the way till 2011 before I got really, really proficient at it. I went to a conference, 2-day conference. And at that conference, I realized all the things that I was doing wrong with Google AdWords, called my father, who had retired from the business at that point, and said, Dad, with what I know now, we're going to double the business here in 3 years. And it turned out to be true.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm thinking now the stuff that I do all the time, I have no idea.
Well, I was going to say, Josh, for other business owners who are listening, who all of what you have just said is a little bit of Greek and they do very little business online, you clearly have a 20-year track record of successes and failures and building an online business. Where does a business owner start? What are some things they should be looking at and looking to do? What advice can you give?
Yeah, well, today, I think there's two primary channels if you're trying to expand your digital marketing efforts, and those are going to be Google AdWords and Facebook. And so with Google AdWords, if you have a very niche product, a need that it's tough to identify who your audience is, and your user has a very clear idea of when they need it. So let's say that you know, trade show displays are a great option, because most people don't even think about a trade show display till they actually need one. And so they're not aware of any brands. So they're going to go to Google and type in trade show displays. And so that's going to be a great application for Google. Now, we're experimenting with Facebook. But when someone's in their Facebook feed, if you put an ad up in front of them about trade show displays and they're not going to a trade show display, Facebook is not going to be a great tool. So you really have to think about your customer, how often they're going to need your product. How important is branding to decide which one of those two primary tools is the one you want to focus attention on?
What are some of the mistakes? You said you went to the 2-day conference and all of a sudden the light bulb went on. Oh my gosh, I've been doing it maybe the way I shouldn't be and I've learned all these things. What are some of the mistakes that people make when they're using Google AdWords?
Well, you know, the first thing that you have to do with Google AdWords is it's an auction platform. So it's very competitive. And so your ability to succeed there is really dependent on how well-oiled your business is, how profitable it is. Because when I talk to people who are trying to use AdWords for the first time, they look at their competitors and maybe their competitors are bidding above them and with high bids. And they're going, they're so dumb. How can they afford to be bidding so much? Well, they're likely not very dumb. They've got a well-oiled machine. They do a good job when they get a click of converting it into a sale, into a repeat customer, and doing it very profitably. So the click is just the first step. You have to make sure when someone clicks your link and lands on your website, your page is set up well to convert that click into a sale. So you got to make sure that back end is tight first. Then as far as just learning the fundamentals of Google AdWords, it's just key to understand the different bidding types. You can bid for an exact match of a search. Let's say that I want to bid for when someone searches trade show displays, exactly that search. So I'm going to bid my highest amount because that's my best term. But what if I want to bid where they might search large trade show displays or cheap trade show displays? That's a different match type. And cheap trade show displays is not as good a search for me as just plain trade show displays. So I want to bid differently. So that's the key, really understanding the different bid types that you have on the platform.
This is very interesting, Stephen, because we're talking with Josh Axelberg, CEO of DisplayIt, and they, as we've talked about, sell trade show displays, but we're actually talking about the digital marketing. I'm thinking there's business leaders out there going to say, listen, yeah, I'll need trade show displays down the line. I want to hire you for my digital marketing right now, Josh. So, I mean, you've got that expertise, but this is something that everybody needs to know because it doesn't, like as you say, it doesn't matter what your service or product is, this still works.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I have a passion for the digital marketing topic, and a number of my friends, when they see what we've done, you know, they always want to pick my brain and talk about how they can put this into use in their business. And I love doing that. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, and to go along those lines, he was talking about this conference he went to where the light bulb went off. I'm wondering, were there other conferences? Were there other books? Were there other things, resources that really weren't all that helpful? And so one of the things you're doing is trying to give back from what you've learned. There, in any topic, there's good resources and bad resources. Clearly, the way you're talking about it with passion, you found a great resource. It took your business to the next level. You want to be a good resource, not only for Google AdWords, but also for trade show displays.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, just being able to speak to our community here in Gwinnett and talk about this stuff, just a lot of fun and brings me a lot of satisfaction.
Another light bulb's going off, Stephen, because coming soon, it'll be DisplayIt Digital Marketing, Inc.
Wow.
He's going to start that side of the company.
Well, let me, and to piggyback on that statement, which I don't know if Josh is now legally obligated to bring that part of his business, but you've given a great story about how the trade show displays and the particular niche you found. For DisplayIt, the company, go beyond the trade show displays we've been focusing on through online marketing. Mm-hmm. What are some other things you can do for local business owners? How wide is the breadth of what you can do when it comes to displays?
Yeah, well, as far as display products, you know, many of our customers are universities, churches, small businesses that use our pull-up style banners, the kinds that just pull up from the base. We have very...
like the one in our corner right
there
here.
There you go. That's the one right there. Very lightweight photo backdrops for video presentations, you know, mobile events and things like that. So, you know, but the biggest thing that we bring to the table is because we control our own production and the way that we have our model set up with high volume, you know, our pricing is going to be half, sometimes even more than half the cost of a traditional full service exhibit house. So, you know, and our business is nationwide. So our business is pretty much, you know, California is probably our biggest state, and just because of the population. So for those people who are here in Gwinnett, they have the chance to come up, see our operation, pick up their display without having any shipping costs in it, and get a internet type price with personalized service.
I want to ask you one more digital marketing question, Josh, if I may, since we got you here. You talk about AdWords, you talk about Facebook. What's coming down the line? Where do you see digital marketing going?
Yeah, well, you know, right now, Facebook is the monster, and we are having a lot of fun experimenting with that platform. And, you know, when I talked about, and I think this goes for Facebook or Snapchat or whatever's going to come after it, on Google AdWords, it's all about the back end of your business, how competitive you are, how you can bid against your competitors. But in Facebook and the other social media platforms that are gaining prominence, it's all about how well you can tell a story. So where I'm seeing things is, you know, how we're using Facebook is we have a weekly show called the DisplayIt Show that we post on Facebook, and we target to traffic who's been to our site. And it's just stuff that's happening around the office. Maybe somebody just got married. Maybe we just launched a new product line or piece of equipment, or we talk about how we manage. We're not trying to sell anything in these videos, but we're telling our story. And now with a tool like Facebook, people, your clients can and prospects can get into your story and they feel like they're a part of your family. And ultimately, I think that's where things are going. Snapchat is a platform with millennials that has their attention in huge numbers, and it is an incredible storytelling platform. And so that's kind of a thing that surprises a lot of my friends when I start talking about Trend. They think that's this tool that kids are using to message and send pictures back and forth, but that's going to be a huge platform in the years to come.
So technology, and we kind of mentioned this with Steve Collins at Integrated Insurance, technology is expanding your reach. It's allowing you to really develop your niche product, but you're bringing it back to individualized connection, storytelling, getting them involved with your family, that is your company.
Exactly. You know, and I love nothing more than telling stories and to get somebody to comment on your story and go, hey, that's awesome. That's an amazing story for your employee there. And then you can speak back to them, you know, engaging with the comments, and you've made this connection.
Great stuff, Josh. Really good stuff. I appreciate you joining us this morning. For those that would like to reach out and find out more about the displays and display it, give all the contact information, website, all that good stuff.
Sure. Our website is displayit.com. It's got thousands of products on it with all of our pricing. You can get in touch with me. Just email me, Josh, at displayit, all one word, .com. Or you can connect with me on Twitter, at Josh Axelbird.
Great. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Hey, my last question would be, can they still fax in orders?
Yes.
Even the old technology stage.
We'll take an order any way you can.
Anyway, yeah, that's right.
What's a fax? Hey, real quick, you know, Josh talked about how he doubled sales one time. Just want to kind of give you a little side story. I once had a radio show and I doubled my audience.
Really?
I'm very good at things like that. Yeah. The guy got married. You know, the only reason I do these stupid jokes is because I have listeners and viewers to our YouTube shows here,
yes,
that say, don't ever lose that sense of humor. They encourage me.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Trey's shaking his head, uh-huh. Stop with the stupid jokes, yeah. But the listeners enjoy it.
Yeah. The listener, the one listener that keeps emailing.
Well, actually, it's just one. He got divorced.
Wow. Keep going.
No, I'm done. Why don't you take care of some business over there?
I can't wait to lose all of our awards. Our Google Awards. Okay. I got to right the ship. There is no better way.
You got to right the what?
Right the ship.
Okay. Just making sure.
There's no better way to right this ship than to talk about one of our favorite sponsors, and that is Faratech. Did you know, Mike, that Faratech is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware? Faratech has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more info, visit faratech.com. That's FARRATECH.com, or call them at 770-582-1188.
And we want to remind all our listeners and our viewers that you can enjoy any of our programs or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can download any of these shows on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We talked about Facebook. We're at Gwinnett Radio X. And, of course, check out our new YouTube channel, Business Radio X Gwinnett. Steven, any final words?
No, I'm absolutely speechless. That's a first.
All right. This is for you, by the way.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Because you're a Ric Flair guy.
Thanks.
Just want to end on a happy note. You can go out there and take on the world.
We were going to end on a happy note with the two great guests we had. Steve and Josh did a fantastic job. I'm excited about their businesses. They're the men.
Well, woo! Well, we had to bring this show down a notch, didn't we? For Steven,
it only takes us 10 seconds, Mike.
And our producers, Trey and Z, who are both shaking their heads right now. I'm Mike Sam, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.